You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and pleased to be joined with special co-host Mike Napier, who serves as BGCO Personal Evangelism Specialist. Howdy, Mike.
Hello, Brian.
Well, we're just a few months away from really one of the major events in all the state and all the calendar. We're talking about the State Evangelism Conference, and we have a very special guest for this edition of Messenger Insight, and Charles Billingsley, who is a singer, worship leader, Christian leader, teacher, now joins us. Charles, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Hey, thanks for having me today, guys. I'm honored to be with you.
Hello, Charles. Thanks for being here with us.
Oh, man, listen, this is an honor for me. I'm looking forward to this conference, too, coming up.
Man, we are so excited about it. January 30th and 31st, 2017, First Southern Del City. Man, we just can't say enough about how excited we are that you've agreed to come and lead us in worship during those days. You're also going to be leading worship at First Southern Del City on that Sunday morning, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's going to be a blast, too. That's one of those churches I always wanted to go to, but have just never had an opportunity or you know, just never worked out. So I'm really excited to be there, too, with those wonderful people. I know that's a great church.
It is a great church with a great history, a great heritage. Pastor Shane Hall is doing a great job there now, and I know that Mitch Rayburn, their worship leader, is excited to have you there leading them in worship on that morning. Matter of fact, you're going to be in that same church as many people from across the state gather for the night of prayer before the State Evangelism Conference. And, wow, I mean, our leaders are going to be there at that night of prayer. You're going to be leading us in worship. We got a man named Mark Beckton that's going to be prompting us in prayer as we go through that night. That night, Charles, will help us just encounter God as we prepare to equip, encourage, and inspire the work of evangelism across Oklahoma. So thank you for being willing to be a part of that night of prayer.
Oh, it's going to be powerful. In fact, I anticipate that being one of the highlights of the entire week. So this is going to be a great time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Now, you know, you're coming. You're going to be leading our senior adult session in worship, which we have on Monday morning. You're going to be leading worship on Monday afternoon and Monday night. And then you're going to be leading a worship, of course, on Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night. But on Tuesday morning, you're going to be leading a breakout for us on how evangelism and Sunday morning worship go together. Now, without spilling the whole beans on what that looks like, because I don't want you to give your whole presentation and people go, okay, I've already heard it, but just give us a 60-second synopsis of what are you seeing at the heart of worship and how it relates to evangelism. What are you seeing, Charles?
Well, you know, the two great functions of the church are evangelism and discipleship, and I really believe that discipleship is what breeds evangelism. It's the people who know the Lord, who are growing closer to the Lord, that are reaching the people for the Lord.
Mm.
And part of that experience of discipleship and growing closer to the Lord is an authentic experience in worship. Not just among believers, but also among non-believers. You know, there's something incredible that happens in the mind and the heart of somebody who doesn't know the Lord when they are in a worship environment or a worship service, say a particular Sunday morning at a local church. When that individual walks in and they can sense an overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit, something that may be completely foreign to them.
Right.
They don't know how to describe it. They don't know how to explain it, but they know something is different. In fact, a lot of them will just start to cry. I've seen that happen a thousand times. And they don't know how to describe it. They don't go to church. They don't know the Lord, but they know something's different. And then when they hear the joy and they see the joy on the faces of, maybe it's a choir or the band or singers or other people singing along in the congregation, whatever it might be, that's something that's an incredible draw. And I always tell churches, look, if we don't enjoy what we're doing ourselves, how will we ever draw anybody else to it?
But
this doesn't happen in every church. But in a lot of churches, when the presence of the Lord is moving, somebody who doesn't know the Lord can sense that. And I believe that's what sparks an evangelistic movement a lot of times in our Sunday morning experiences, just the worship itself.
That's good.
Not because they're participating, but because they sense something different and they want whatever that is.
Yes. That's good. I like that, Charles. That's really good. Well, and I know our ministers of music, our worship directors are going to enjoy being there with you for that breakout. You know, I've got to sit at several times with you leading worship. Matter of fact, I enjoy listening to your CDs as I drive down the road, and I so enjoy those times of worship I get to have with you when you're not even in the car with me. So thank you for your ministry
well,
to me.
I appreciate you getting the CD. I was wondering who the guy is that bought it.
The guy, that's funny. Hey, let me switch gears. I've got another question for you, which a lot of our listeners might really be interested in. What worship trends are you seeing across North America? Are you seeing any new trends right now? Are you seeing worship trending to go one way or another, or do you know?
Well, you know, there's certain trendsetters out there. I mean, guys like Chris Tomlin and the Passion Group, and then people like Hillsong United. And, you know, there's definitely trendsetters out there. Elevation, Vertical Church, which, by the way, Vertical Church is about 80% just former Liberty students, and most of them came up under us there. And so we're pretty proud of them. But, you know, the trend, honestly, is continuing down this road that it's been on for quite a while, I think, 7 to 10 years. We went through a major shift in the late 80s and 90s where we shifted from songs that were to an audience to songs that are with an audience.
Yes.
Songs instead of about God, but songs that are to God. And I think it struck a really pleasant place in the heart of believers in the sense that, you know, maybe church music isn't necessarily about me listening to it, but actually participating in it. I think that's way more biblical. I think that's what we're going to do in heaven.
Amen.
And so I'm excited to see that the trend is not only continuing down that path, but it's expanding a little bit. We're moving a little bit away from just your typical 3 to 4 chord songs and getting a little bit more complex with them and a little bit more creative, which is cool. And, you know, these things always tend to shift like a pendulum. And some, you know, we went through several years here where it's not necessarily cool to have a choir and, you know, it's all band driven. Yet at the same time, I'm starting to see more choirs again.
Is that right?
Which is great.
Yes, it is.
But it's a different kind of choir. It's not necessarily the choir that stands there in robes and delivers an octavo every week. Instead, it's a worship leading choir. It's a bunch of believers who just have a passion for worshiping God, and they're helping engage the congregation in the presence of the Lord. That's the way I use our choir at Thomas Road. That's the way we use choirs in our concerts. And when you have an army of believers up there in a choir loft that have the same mindset as you as the worship leader, just trying to draw people in the presence of the Lord,
yeah,
man, I'm telling you, it can be an incredibly powerful experience. So I'm seeing a little bit more choirs out there, but the different kind of choirs, more
the
worship leading choir.
I like it. I like it.
You know, but a lot of church plants, they don't have choir lofts and things. So
sure,
you don't see choirs in every church. I think it's somewhere around like 30 to 40% of churches have choirs now. So it's not the majority, but when you do use a choir right, it can be a lot of fun and add tons of energy. Plus, it just creates an opportunity for hundreds of people in your church to participate in another way, shape, or form with your church body.
You bet.
So, you know, there's really lots of trends going on, lots of different ways of doing church, and I think that's just going to continue to expand. But it's all great and it's all exciting as long as you don't let your production overwhelm or override the power of the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
You don't
well,
have
I like
to have
that.
A big production.
That's right.
Well, you know, we got a lot of churches that are so focused on producing a great service. You have people running around with headsets on and doing the big countdowns and the lights and the sound and the smoke. All that's great, but unfortunately, we get so caught up in making that the focus that the presence of the Lord is never even thought about, let alone invited.
Yeah, that's
and
sad.
When that happens, then you're running in dangerous territory. Because
oh,
to me, there's no difference in that kind of service than, you know, going to see Maroon 5 in concert.
There you go.
You know, and by the way, they're great in concert.
Sure.
The thing that's missing is the presence of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
and
you're right. You're right.
What's missing in so many of our churches. And so I put a great emphasis on using production for what it's used for, to enhance but not overwhelm, to, you know, be a tool or an instrument to create an environment that's conducive to powerful worship, but not being the end itself.
Sure.
The presence of the Lord should be the goal.
Amen.
And
Amen.
It should be the focus.
Well, and see, and what you're saying is why we are having a African-American choir on Tuesday night. When you're here with us at the State Evangelism Conference, there's a 200-plus voice African-American choir. My goal is 300, but we're working on that. But right now, we are over 200-voice choir. And that is exactly why we're doing that. It's just to invite the Spirit of the Lord into that place. And, of course, you are going to be leading a couple of songs with them toward the end of their concert. So it's just going to be a fantastic night. I'm so looking forward to your leadership and how God uses you, Charles. I tell you what, I'll just admit it. I'm the president of your fan club, if you didn't know that. So,
I am.
Does that make me vice president?
Well, sure. In fact, I didn't even know I had one. It's great news.
You know, Charles, you were talking about the heart of worship and drawing people in, and so many people are familiar with your life and your work there at Thomas Road Baptist Church, your concerts, your music, your CDs. But what grabbed me, you actually had a medical scare several years ago that I was hoping you could talk about, and what God taught you through that, just so our listeners could learn a little bit more about you as a person and a family man.
Well, I think that medical scare was part of the reason I'm so focused on the presence of the Lord now. I mean, you know, I was facing the the possibilities of never being able to sing again. I had developed a polyp on my left vocal fold, you know, those things don't go away. They they just feed themselves, and so it was either a miracle or surgery. And after several weeks of prayer, you know, I just kept having to turn down dates and turning, you know, away opportunities to lead worship, including my own church. And so I finally just had to make a decision to go through with the surgery. Well, I found a specialist up in New York, and I did this laser procedure that he had invented, and it was awesome. But, you know, all the time leading up to that, I was a nervous wreck, and I just didn't know if I was ever going to be able to sing again. And, you know, you hear all the horror stories about, like, people like Julia Andrews and all those kind of things. And I was very, very scared. In fact, the night before we left, we had a big prayer service at my house there, and I invited just people who I knew would really cry out to God on my behalf. And the last guy that prayed, it was real interesting. He didn't just pray. He literally crawled across the floor on his knees, and he reached up and put his hands around my neck. I didn't know what he was going to do, but he just looked at me in the eye, and he asked me this. He said, "If you come through that surgery tomorrow and you're never able to sing again, will you still love God?" And then he said, "Will you still serve God?"
Wow.
And then he said this, "Will you still worship God?"
Hmm.
And, you know, that struck me so just right in the heart.
Sure.
And I told him as honest as I could. I said, "You know, I think so, but I don't know. I'm just scared." And so, you know, because I didn't have any other B plan. I mean, if I'm not singing and leading worship, I really don't have any other skills. And so I went up there and had that surgery. And after the surgery, I had 5 days of silence where I'm not allowed to make a single noise, even sneeze. The doctor said, if you got to sneeze with your mouth open, which is not easy, by the way. You should try that sometime.
Wow.
But during that time, you know, I it fell over a Sunday, and so I couldn't lead worship, obviously. So I got in my car and I drove up to the Blue Ridge Mountains, which is about 11 miles behind my house, and I just began to pray and cry out to the Lord, and you know, in my silence, He spoke to me, and you know, I learned all over again that day what it is to worship the Lord. You know, you don't need a song. You don't need an instrument. You certainly don't need a voice to worship the Lord. Worship is so much more than singing songs and playing music. It's so much more than a style of song. It's so much more than just a modern chorus or an ancient hymn.
Right.
Worshiping the Lord is you simply loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I feel like I came back to my first love that day.
Praise the Lord.
Feel like
that's so exciting.
God just reminded me again that my voice is not my source. He is, and He alone is. And so I just told the Lord, man, if you just give me my voice back, I'll change my priorities. And you know what? He has just been so good. It's been so amazing to see what He's done since that day. It's been pretty awesome.
Well, praise the Lord for that. That is exciting. Man, thank you for sharing that with us, too. We have about 60 seconds left, and I wish I could.
Oh, okay.
I want to hear more about that story, but maybe we'll go to Waffle House, and you can tell me more about that story after a night of worship and praise. Waffle House definitely is the right place to go. But
oh, for sure.
Tell me, we got 60 seconds. Tell me something about Cooper or Caleb. Those are your two boys. Now, you can't take all the credit on that. They're your and your wife's two boys. But tell me something about Cooper and Caleb real quick. We got about 45 seconds.
Well, I give my wife all the credit. She's the best mom in the world. But Cooper and Caleb are amazing kids. Cooper is goofy as all get out. Caleb is highly organized and anal retentive. They're complete opposites. But what I love is that I see the heart of both of them and how the Lord is working in their lives. And I'm just honored and blessed to be able to call myself their dad. And I can't wait to see how He uses them in the coming years.
Mm. That's so much fun.
Hey, man. Charles, it's been great visiting with you. We've been talking to Charles Billingsley, who is singer, worship leader, husband, father, teacher, Christian leader. Charles, thank you for lending your voice, for sharing your heart, and for spending some time with us today on Messenger Insight.
Thank you, Charles.
Hey, man, it's an honor. Thank you guys so much.
And we'll look forward to having you here in Oklahoma January 30th and 31st, 2017. Visit bgco.org for more information and look for the State Evangelism Conference. Blessings to you, Charles.
You too, guys, and I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.